A very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 32 of our 40 days Lenten reflections and prayers. Our text for reflection is Hebrews 9, 23 to 28. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was crucified once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. We don't need to sacrifice each other to be happy or to be safe. The author of Hebrews has been inspired by Exodus 25:40 to note that the old sanctuary and the sacrificial system that went with it was a copy of a heavenly reality. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself and now is in the presence of Almighty God. The writer adds that the copy was inferior to the reality towards which it points. And that reality is Christ's self-offering on our behalf as the one who is both priest and sacrificial victim. There are at least 2 points of the imagery presented in this passage which we can relate to our human situation and learn from: Christ's singular self-sacrifice and the contrast between imitation and reality. Firstly, the idea of Christ's bloody sacrifice. The blood of Christ was shed on the cross for our salvation and redemption, and it is only his blood and sacrifice that saves us. You see, friends, this idea of Christ's bloody sacrifice is not so popular in our day. It is sometimes quite offensive to many modern sensibilities because we feel that we have advanced culturally beyond such rituals. But there are still many ways in which we sacrifice each other, using other people as scapegoats for our own wrong and guilt, and in order to feel safe. Think of families and communities. A member or group becomes the outcast whose expulsion gives a sigh of relief to the rest of the people. Children are abandoned to die because they are accused of being witches or wizards and for bringing misfortune to the family. I recently watched a video circulating on social media of a young child in a part of Nigeria who had been abandoned by his parents. No one in the community would give him food or touch him because they thought he was a wizard. This happens in some societies when a family has certain misfortunes, such as poverty, losing loved ones, or members suffering from certain illnesses. They would blame a family member or a child for being the cause of their misfortune. Getting rid of the one brings a sense of relief to the family or the community. I am sure some of you would know that in Toni Morrison's novel, The Bluest Eye, a helpless young African-American girl becomes the scapegoat of the family and the community. Sometimes, some churches and so-called prophets and pastors have acted as catalysts to this savagery, accusing individuals as witches and wizards who are causing misfortune in their families. In some cases, the so-called witches and wizards have been eliminated by their own family. What we learn is that our sacrificial systems are subtle, but they are real, punishing, and very destructive. But our Lord's final self-offering on the cross of Calvary means that we have a place to put our guilt and our weaknesses and our problems without sacrificing each other. Secondly, in Hebrews 9:23-24, we think of the earthly sanctuary as a copy of its heavenly model, the presence of God. In our virtual reality culture, we struggle with this distinction between imitation and reality. For example, there are makeups which often completely transform some women and even men that it is difficult to recognize them when they are in their natural state. But the difference between a copy and the real thing or person is that a copy has no lasting effects, whereas what is real does last. Think of an imitation marriage with imitation vows. What is real delivers on what it promises. Imitations fall short of all the promises that are made, and the artificiality of fake things soon come to the fore. Think also of those trying to imitate what Christ did and even claiming to do more than he did, while their true characters are in complete contrast to that of my Lord. The world is full of impostors, promising to pray away people's problems, to instantly heal all their diseases, to multiply the money they pay them, court seats, and make them millionaires. Some claim they have the power to pray for people to obtain visas to travel to the Western world, even if they don't meet the requirements, or that they can pray for people to miraculously get citizenship in countries where they are seeking asylum, even if they do not have the right evidence for their cases. The letter to the Hebrews teaches us that it is crucial to distinguish rightly between imitation and reality. What really matters is what Christ does in the presence of God, reconciling us to the divine presence and knowing that only God can really deliver on God's promises. True, we are called to pray, but we must pray knowing that God will answer according to what he deems fit for us and not from our selfish desires. We must be wary of the cynicism of charlatans and human pretensions as opposed to the boundless faith that is in a good God. What a difference it will make if all of us experienced the church as a community of forgiven sinners who don't need to sacrifice each other to be happy, whose consciences are cleansed from dead works to worship the living God, and who are real and not counterfeit, or only an imitation of the real things. May God help us not to sacrifice each other in order to feel safe, and may God deliver us from all those horrid and artificial things and people we often run after thinking they are real. May the crucified Christ be our guide and our stay. Lord Jesus Christ, the journey you took to the cross was full of betrayal, grief, torture, and darkness, yet your love for us, your people, propelled you onward. Help us to comprehend just how powerful that love is, that you would suffer such a cruel death to make a way for us to be with you in glory forever. What a gift, Jesus. What a gift. We confess for times when we have desired to sacrifice one another in order to make life easy for ourselves. These have been through betrayal, betraying our loved ones or friends and colleagues. And we pray for times we have not been real and have run after fake copies of what is real in the Christian faith. Liberate and save us, especially from charlatans, and bring us joy everlasting through our crucified Lord, the suffering servant. May our praise never cease in this season. May our worship be unending. May our love for you find new depths. May this season bring new hope and new healing. May we journey towards the cross prayerfully and purposefully through the pain, doubts, questions, and our searching. Amen.